The milk is trying to kill you.
Milk is murder. Milk is death. Don't touch the milk.
Milk is murder.
Hello and welcome to our Riverdale podcast, brought to you by the Aficionados Podcast Network. My name is Robin Jeffrey. I'm a 28-year-old actor and artist. I like brooding anti-heroes, feminist agendas, and I remember way too many details that no one else cares about. You can follow me personally at Robin E. Jeffrey pretty much everywhere, and our fun fact for this episode is, what's your best Halloween costume? I wonder what we did as our fun fact for the original Halloween episode. I simply don't recall.
I'm sure it was this.
I would say that, probably, my two, like, favorite Halloween costumes, I do a mad TJ Detweiler from Recess that I, like, actively still wear sometimes, not just around, but, like, for Halloweens or for costume parties and stuff like that. And then I'm also really proud of my Jughead cosplay. I think it's quite good.
No, your Jughead cosplay, like, the photo shoot that you did where, like, you had, like, your mouth full of burger.
Yeah.
Genuinely one of your best...
I think I'm a genius.
...things that you've done.
And then also, my family bought, like, actual jumpsuits, and, like, we dyed white ones to be, like, that perfect tan color. So we have the blue ones and the tan ones. We got, like, Dharma patches, and we got them professionally embroidered. So they're, like, literally the, like, Dharma jumpsuits that the Lost characters wear in season 5. And I'm really proud of that, too, because, like, that's, like, screen accurate. It's pretty cool.
No, they genuinely look very cool. I've seen you in that
a
number of times. It is cool every single time.
So I would say those are my three favorites. Yeah.
Just off the top of your head. And my name is Brittany Ray. I'm a 33-year-old artist and writer. I like badass moms and long naps. I'm on Twitter at Britannia, where I can be fun, tempting to be interesting. And what have I been doing this week? Bullying racists. That's what I've been doing on Twitter.
You're always doing the Lord's work.
Thank you so much. I am quite holy.
Yeah.
Okay, so all of my best costumes I actually wore at Disney parks.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, growing up, I wore the same costume every year, not because, like...
She's a witch.
I was forced to, but because I just loved it. So I was a witch every year. I was a princess one year, but it was at a house party and it was wasted, to be honest. So my favorite costume that I ever did was actually when I went in drag as Bianca Del Rio. That was sick as hell. But, like, you couldn't do, like, the full, like, you had to be really careful at Disney. Like, when you do your costumes, like, it can't be crazy because you have to get on the rides.
Yeah.
So I had full Bianca makeup, like, the full beat. And then I had a Bianca t-shirt, which, oh my God, where's that t-shirt? I have not seen that yet.
Oh, I know exactly which one you're talking about. The one where she has the devil horns.
Yeah, dude, where's that t-shirt?
I don't know.
I should try and find that.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
You wore that all the time.
Right? I bet it's under our bed.
Probably.
In storage. It was that one, and then...
There's a lot of things under there.
One year, I went... my friend's mom did screen accurate recreations of the Hocus Pocus, like, cloaks that they all wear. Like, cloaks and, like, you know, like, Winifred's, like, little cinched dress thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this was before Disney had, like, figured out that people wanted Hocus Pocus stuff, so, like, you couldn't buy it. The only thing that you could buy was the cheap, shiny stuff, and it was, like, a couple years old and was not in circulation, so they were, like, such a hit. People were crazy about those.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are my favorite costumes. I actually don't even remember the third. Nice. I don't have a third.
All right.
Today we have words to say about episode 7-11 of Riverdale, Halloween 2.
Yes, so fun. However, I was doing my notes yesterday, and on Netflix it said the episode was called Halloween. At least it was yesterday. I was like, that's not the name of the episode.
Yeah, it's actually still called that.
Yeah, I was like, that's not what it's called, but all right.
On Netflix Canada, anyway.
Yeah, who knows. But either way, our step-by-step notes for this season were written by Sheila Daly, aka Blanche, who is our hero. I love the idea. We talked about this at the end of last episode, but I love the idea of literally, I'm pretty sure the first Halloween episode was in season, like, 3.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is Halloween 2 in season 7. I think that's so funny.
They're like, let's do a sequel 5 seasons later.
Can I tell you what this reminds me of?
You should.
It's slightly embarrassing.
No, you should though.
But I'm gonna own it.
I'm so excited.
So when I was in high school, I listened to a lot of Wizard Rock. A lot.
You're right, this is embarrassing.
And my favorite band was called Ministry of Magic, and they had this one song called The Hero, and I'm pretty sure it was straight up called The Hero Part 1, and then, like, 2 albums later, they had The Hero Part 2. And I thought that was genius.
It is.
I thought it was so funny to have it like oh, now it's the sequel. Okay. Forever later? Sure.
They had to take their time, okay?
Yeah. My best friend in high school wrote a Dramini fic. No. We were very Harry Potter focused in high school, as you can tell. But my best friend...
Who was it?
Right?
We're not Harry Potter focused now, and that's what matters.
Yeah. But they wrote a Dramini fic, and they were like, what should I name this chapter, and we decided to call it The Wedding Part One. I said, because we knew there was going to be two weddings in the fic, right? Yeah. And I was like, just like the Ministry of Magic songs, you should call it The Wedding Part One, and then everyone's going to be like, oh, next chapter is going to be Wedding Part Two. But it's not. Wedding Part Two is going to be way far down the road. It's going to be funny. And now that Riverdale's done this, I'm just like, oh, I get it. I see exactly what you've done.
It's good. I've connected the dots. I've connected them.
Halloween 2 is a 1981 American slasher film, although Brittany told me last episode that it is not even canon. It is the second installment in the Halloween film series and is a continuation sequel to Halloween in 1978. The plot picks up directly after the cliffhanger ending of the first film, with Michael Myers following survivor Laurie Strode to the local hospital where his psychiatrist, Dr. Loomis, continues his pursuit of him.
Listen, I love horror movies. Like, my wife got me into horror movies. I absolutely love them. So there are a few horror loves of my life. The first one is Lorraine Warren from the Conjuring franchise. Fictional only. We do not claim the real one. Mm-hmm. The second one is Laurie Strode.
Yeah.
She is an icon. I wish I could get you to watch these, but I genuinely, I think you'd hate them. I just want you to see them.
Yeah, I'm happy to watch for the story, but unfortunately the story is, like, hidden underneath terror, and I'm just uninterested.
The story is just mostly the slasher. Like, the story, I mean, I guess it is a story about trauma, as all the Jamie Lee Curtis TikToks will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But especially the original franchise, it's about, like, the terrorizing of young women.
Yeah.
But with a message.
Right.
Anyway. So. Yeah. Anyway, it's really good.
So, just a real quick thoughts from listeners, you guys. Last episode, I was like, oh, wait, they were talking about Centerville and being in Centerville late and how that was bad and how, like, you know, seasons ago they said you shouldn't be in Centerville after midnight, right? Blanche was like, actually, that was Greendale. And I was like, thanks so much. Yep. I remembered something, but it was the wrong town. And that was funny because Greendale is spooky. But I think don't they talk about Greendale this episode, I think, actually?
Yes, they do. They actually talk about it quite a bit.
They got to, because it's Halloween. Halloween in June. Ooh. And since this is episode 11, and we've been doing this for 11 weeks, this, just our season 7 coverage, Brittany, mm-hmm. has gone on longer than Riverdale Grandstand.
Oh my god. Honestly, kind of iconic.
Tutor boot, Benny.
Oh, I'm giving it a toot. It was a delightful episode.
Yeah, I'm absolutely giving it a toot. I had a great time.
Also, some classic Riverdale in like the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. High camp this episode. Absolutely. Yeah. Love it. I split, so Blanche obviously did the notes, and then I split them into Jughead and everything else. I found that everything was quite interspersed together and important to each other, except the Jughead stuff was the stuff that was like sort of all by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to start with Jughead.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
So we're going to start with Jughead, and I'm going to do the notes for Jughead, and then Brittany's going to do the notes for the rest of the stuff. So once again, I know I'm a broken record about this, but that's because it's important to talk about. Blanche, thank you so much for writing our notes.
Literally.
You are the best.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Jughead narrates that after talking to the cat lady, he goes to Keller with this new information that he got. He tries to explain that there is a killer milkman at large, but Keller isn't buying it. He still thinks Brad killed himself. He tells Jughead that unless the neighbor physically saw somebody that night, the case is still closed. He also reminds him of the Halloween ban for teenagers. Sounds lame.
Yeah. Sounds like boo. Everyone, no one is literally any fun.
Also, Keller, if you're the detective, aren't you supposed to be smart?
I mean,
literally, Jughead is like handing you evidence and you're like, ah, no. But it's so classic cop being like, that doesn't really work with my fantasy.
Well, because he doesn't want to do the work. He found an easy answer. And so that's the one he's going to stick with.
I'm going to go ahead and be a conspiracy theorist about this.
Conspiracy away.
I think a lot of cops do this. Yeah.
Oh my god, I thought you were about to be a conspiracy theorist and you were like, because cops do this? And I'm like, yeah, because they're, got it. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. I'm the conspiracy theorist. I think a lot of cops do that.
They do.
They just find the easy out and then they're like, it's over.
Robin.
It's done.
I can tell you from personal experience in my actual life,
mm-hmm.
I have seen it happen to someone very close to me.
Yeah.
This is not at all conjecture.
ACAB.
All day, every day.
So in his trailer, Jughead listens to the radio radio as he gets rid of all the milk in his apartment.
Gotta hurt his heart.
I think it's very funny that he thinks he's being poisoned via milk. Upsetting for me, that he's just dumping all that milk. I'm like, man, I'd drink that. Well, maybe not if there was a killer milkman. That's actually a fair point.
Because, like, what if, genuinely, like, what if it's poison? What if it's, like, a mass hallucinate? Now I'm like, oh my god, what if the milk is what keeps them all thinking that they're stuck in the 50s?
Oh my god.
That's too far, I think.
I think I have this later, but, like, there is a lot of, like, this show has always sort of had this weird through line and, like, weird in-joke about milk. Do you remember that?
No.
But, like, Kevin is always drinking milk. And then one time we saw a chick drinking milk. And I was like, do only gay characters drink milk? And now it's like, I don't know. They've just always had this weird thing where people are just straight up drinking white milk. Which, like, isn't weird for me. Well, actually, it is. Because I only drink white milk with, like, other things, you know? Like, breakfast? I don't just drink white milk. Do I drink chocolate milk? Yeah.
I want you to know, I could not figure out for the fucking life of me why you kept saying white milk. Chocolate milk. Got it.
Yeah.
Which is superior, and I think we all know it.
Absolutely. But the problem is that if I'm eating, like, a sort of savory breakfast, I don't want chocolate milk. You know what I mean? It's just that they don't go.
I get that.
So I drink white milk with a savory breakfast.
I get that, and I've seen it as someone who lived with you.
But it is weird, I think, for a lot of people, because a lot of people, like, there's this weird thing where people don't, like, make fun of people for drinking milk. And then also it's just weird to only, like, just drink milk just as a beverage.
I think
so. That's why it was always noticeable for us that people were drinking milk.
People make fun of it because of the research that's come out in the last few years about how heavily lobbied milk was by corporations, and that it doesn't actually have as many health benefits as they claimed it did. But yeah, I mean, I'm gonna give you that one. It's a little aggressive.
And to be clear, I was never drinking milk for the health benefits. I just like it.
Well, when you grow up with something, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right, so Jughead walks into the student lounge after Veronica had, like, a whole spiel and everything, and horrifically spots a bunch of people drinking milk. He smacks a milk carton out of Dilton's hand and yells at everyone not to drink fresh milk and says to opt for powdered milk instead and runs out like an absolute maniac.
He seems really... Veronica's literally like, ugh, you know, things around here, they could use a little stability. And he's like, the milk is trying to kill you.
Conspiracy theory that's actually totally real. Milk is murder. Milk is death. Don't touch the milk.
Milk is murder.
And everyone's like, okay, man.
Do you remember the Meat is Murder campaign?
Like, this is the spookiest thing about Halloween. Spookiest thing about Halloween is Jughead.
Yeah, but that's gonna be true every year, isn't it? That guy's such a creepy little guy. I love him so much, but he's kind of a creep.
What did you say before? I was talking in the middle and I couldn't hear what you said.
I was like, do you remember the Meat is Murder campaign?
Oh my god, did I?
That's what I thought you were doing. And then I was like, I don't think she knows what she's doing.
No, I don't think so. I just made it up.
She said alliteration.
Is that like a vegan thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The SPCA or the ASPCA or whatever. What is it?
No. PETA.
PETA!
And, like, may I say, love the ASPCA. Vegans, love you. PETA, go fuck yourselves.
Right. Okay, I was like, wait, no, I think I like the SPCA. Okay.
No, that's where we adopt animals.
I know. That's why I was like, no, I like that place. That's not right.
That's a good place to be.
So Jughead, like, smacks Dilton's milk out of his hand and almost hits Kevin, because Kevin, like, milk just flies toward him at all times, I guess.
Oh, that's such a gross...
It would be hard for me to follow this rule.
I need 7 business days to recover from that.
He just likes milk.
Stop.
We just talked about it.
I know.
I would have a hard time following this rule. I do really love milk. But I love that Veronica was like, wow, dodged a bullet with that one. Glad I don't have to date Jughead anymore. That was weird. That was a weird 2 days for me.
I kind of forgot about the Ronnie Jug thing. Why did you drop that so quickly, though?
Brittany, what? I wish I could tell you. They should not have done that in the first place.
It was like they were like...
That was stupid.
They were like, what do we do with Jughead if he doesn't have romance? And they were like, how...
Literally.
Hook him up with Veronica? Like, where's Tabitha? And they're like, I don't know. He's like, okay, what if murder? That'll do it.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So Jughead talks to Ethel on the phone. She's still at the sisters. She says she's okay and she misses him and school. Jughead tells her about Brad's murder and that he suspects the milkman is behind it. He asks if her parents had any connection to him, but she says no. Ethel says she's been thinking, maybe whoever wrote the original milkman comic knows something. She has to go because Sister Woodhouse is staring her down and she hangs up. Before she even said Sister Woodhouse, I was like, is that Sister Woodhouse? But it was.
Robin hyperfixating on Sister Woodhouse.
And then later we, like, actually see her. I hate her! She's horrible!
Okay, I just want to say, I want everyone here to know, this has nothing to do with Riverdale, that okay. Me and Robin, for some reason, like, between every single sentence, we are burping.
Stop! I edit them out!
I know, but I need everyone to know for some reason.
You guys, we're only human. We do be burping. I think I left one burp in last episode. It was one of yours. Because then you said, sorry, do be burping. I thought that was funny. Gotta burp.
I'm crying.
Like, oh my god, like Jimmy Neutron. Gotta blast, except you.
Gotta burp.
You're like, gonna... Anyway, Riverdale.
Bro, there are tears in my eyes.
I love how you're like, sorry, this doesn't have anything to do with Riverdale. And I was like, I just talked about Wizard Rock for like 3 minutes, so I think we're good.
This podcast is a fucking nightmare.
Anyway, I hate Sister Woodhouse, and I thought it was nice that Ethel remembered Jughead's favorite book. I thought that was nice.
Okay, here's the thing. I remember the name Sister Woodhouse, but
yeah,
my memory is so bad. It's not my fault. I have ADHD. Who was Sister Woodhouse?
She was just, like, the main one. She was the main nun, and then she, like, was the one who killed all the other nuns, and then was, like, working with the Gargoyle King. Like, she was just, like, the main bad one.
So Penelope's lackey, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
She's, like, just, like, the main evil nun.
Got it.
Sister Woodhouse. It, like, totally tracks with Ethel having a crush on Jughead, which we all know is true, to, like, remember his favorite book. So I did think that was nice. And then, but I did want to complain because I feel like Ethel, he's like, does Brad have anything to do with your parents? And she goes, no. I'm like, babe, don't just say no. Like, think about it for 3 seconds. Like, this is important.
I want this to be some kind of indication that she's in on it. I know that it's not.
Ooh.
But I want it to be.
Now, that would be a twist. That would be a twist.
Oh, y'all ready for a twist? Come on, Riverdale season 7, let's get sickening!
Thanksgiving, more like Thanksgiving. Halloween, more like Halla... No.
No,
Halloween, more like...
Ookie spooky Halla cookie. That's the Halloween... That's the safe for work Halloween one.
Jughead asked Mr. Fieldstone who wrote the Milkman story, but he has no idea. But a ton of freelance writers for Pep Comics are coming to the Halloween party tonight, so he invites Jughead to come look for him there. Jughead thanks him and says that he will be there.
Does Mr. Fieldstone only hire teenagers?
I really feel like... Well, like, I'm so confused. Well, first of all, Bernie's obviously not a teenager. He's a full adult. Return of the King, of course.
No. I will not... First... Actually, yeah. I thought you were about to, like, be like, he looks like adult, but we haven't seen Bernie's face, correct?
No, Bernie, like, comes up to... No, we've seen Bernie lots of times.
Oh.
He, like, comes up to Jughead. He's the one who's just like, welcome, Jughead, at the party.
Okay. So you cannot fault me for thinking that they are all teenagers or assuming that they're all supposed to be teenagers when they're adults, when all of these people are 30 years old.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Yeah, yeah, for sure. But also, like, as an adult, I would act just like that. So, like, it's definitely, you know, Bernie's just vibing. I was so excited to see him. He was so happy. I was like, that's my guy. That's my friend Bernie.
That's just your buddy.
I really feel like Mr. Fieldstone is, like, the worst boss ever. And it's, like, so... And I mean, we knew this already, but he's, like, really shitty.
Bro, he's a nightmare.
Like, what do you mean you don't know who wrote the Milkman story? Doesn't it say by somebody on it?
I feel like Mr. Fieldstone is the perfect example of how easily men are handed opportunities that they one, don't care for, and two, absolutely squander just because they're men. Because, like, does this man even like comics? Like, why is he here?
Right, and I'm just like, what do you mean you don't know which of your writers wrote what? And, like, literally earlier this season, he was just like, I can't find any writers! And now he's like, here are all my writers, but none of them want to actually write? Like, why? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's Riverdale, so we haven't had a moment where the logic has slipped this much in a minute, but,
yeah.
It's Riverdale!
Yeah, Mr. Fieldstone is... questionable. Maybe he's in on it.
Like, and I don't think he's villainous.
Well, like, a couple episodes ago, I was like, Mr. Fieldstone had Bray Radbury murdered. Bray Radbury?
Bray Radbury.
Bray. Brad Ray.
No, he had Bray Radbury murdered.
Yeah. That sounds completely normal to me. Yeah. Anyway.
This show has f***ed our brains up so badly.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to have a hiatus. Thrilled to have a hiatus. I keep, like, thinking about my weekend next weekend, and I keep catching myself being like, but when am I supposed to record? Like, I have to do this on Saturday, I have to do this. And then I'm like, oh my god, I don't have to. Like, Brittany, when I tell you, I've done that 7 times in the past 3 days, being like, oh crap, I'm, like, so busy next weekend, what am I gonna... Oh no, wait, I don't have to worry about it.
Bro, I understand completely, because, like, first of all, I'm sad that, like, you have a big girl job, so, like, and you have to, like, take care of children, so you cannot be here.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, with Chris and Casey, I'm like, oh, shit, when am I going to find to do this? I don't have to find time to do this.
It was the perfect timing. So, Jughead is stocking up on powdered milk when he hears a noise at the door. He hides behind something and goes to knock out the intruder, but it's just Ethel. I think it's ridiculous.
Sorry, the powdered milk takes me out every time.
I think it's ridiculous that he's just like, everyone just drink powdered milk, don't drink fresh milk. And I'm like, babe, no one else can buy powdered milk if you take it all.
Jughead is not gonna thrive in the pandemic.
It's true. I'm just like, I do, like, Brittany at the beginning, like, right before we started recording, she was like, are you really upset about all the milk slander? And I was like, I actually don't think there is any milk slander, because Jughead loves milk so much that he's willing to have powdered milk.
I mean, you're right.
Instead of fresh milk, which is insane. I would rather drink water.
The man is making a lot of choices I would not make.
But Jughead loves milk so much. Yeah. I do think, like, we talked about with all the milk stuff, like, all of it for the entire show has all been leading up to this. You know?
This truly... Do you remember that?
They sprinkled in all the milk stuff earlier for this.
Do you remember that one scene, like, early in the series when... Was it Dad Keller was drinking milk out of the fridge and we found out he was ripped? Was that it?
Was that milk?
Yeah, because I remember thinking it was it either Kevin was drinking milk or something, and we saw that shot of Dad Keller, and it was, like, all in the same scene, and we were like, what?
Yeah, that was in... I feel like that was in the same episode.
It was!
That was definitely in one of the, like, stories that was, like, cut into three.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, a Betty and Veronica one. I think that was the same story as, like, the Jughead and Archie go on a drug run. Or the same episode, I think.
It could be.
If I had to remember. Yeah, I don't remember if it was milk that he was drinking, but I definitely remember that he's, like, grabbing something out of the fridge.
It's all leading to this. Milk.
And, like, they're, like, going down the stairs. Yeah, it's all leading to this. I bet Cole doesn't even like milk. Cole, you don't even get it.
I mean, it's kind of hard as an adult to drink milk and not, like, you know, immediately have issues.
What do you mean have issues? Like, tummy issues?
Well, it's hard as an adult to drink milk and then not shit your pants.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm really strong, you guys.
Yeah, your countenance, your stomach, steel. Anyway.
I'm just fancy. So Ethel explains to Jughead that she heard about some secret tunnels underneath the sisters' building, and she found them and escaped. She says she couldn't bear to stay any longer because the sisters are cruel and abusive. She explains that in a couple months she'll turn 18 and then be safe from anything they can do. Jughead says they're probably still going to come looking and that his train car isn't safe. He suggests she stays in Brad's apartment because no one is there and the rent is paid out until the end of the year. He says he'll get her a mask to walk around tonight and she won't have to worry when they get to the Halloween party and she can help find the author of the Milkman comic.
It's a damn good plan.
Yeah. Blanche's note was, where's hot dog? And I think that's so fair. I have a note about hot dog later.
And Jughead literally talks about hot dog later.
He doesn't, actually.
He absolutely does. He says, I need to go home and eat hot dog.
Oh. You're completely right. My complaint was that in the next scene, when he says, can you not trash my car again? Or, like, my train car again?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, or let my dog out and send him to the pound?
Yeah.
I feel like that was the worst part about it.
Him little puppy.
Yeah, but no, you're right. She totally talks about hot dog. Where is he? No idea. I liked that they brought up the secret tunnels, because those have been important for many sisters' storylines in the past.
Memories.
So it's nice to hear about them again. I was like, Jughead, can we give Ethel, like, a washcloth or something?
Oh my god, right?
Her face is so dirty. Like, please. So rude.
Okay, everyone in this episode needed a washcloth, because Alice, what's going on, babe?
Well, that was makeup, at least, not just dirt.
I know, but I was like, oh my god, that's funny. Like, what happened during that special?
Yeah, right. Me and Meta, when we were watching, we thought that he was going to send her to the sex bunker.
Oh, that would have made... I bet they destroyed that set.
Yeah, probably. But wait! No, I saw on somebody's Instagram that they were going back.
Oh, well, maybe he has to hide her there after Brad?
Later. Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Or it's like an inflection point and there's another Jughead in there already writing all of
it. That's it. That's absolutely it.
Okay, here's the thing though. If that's true, I'm gonna be insufferable.
Well, that's because that's what we saw in Rivervale.
I know. But if I'm right, I'm going to be insufferable about it.
Good.
Thank you.
And then my last note was just that Ethel needs to chill because Jughead loves Tabitha. So chill out, Ethel.
Hashtag Jabitha. Hashtag endgame. Thank you. We have spoken.
Yes.
But also, I love you, Ethel. And I do absolutely see why, like, the things that he does for you, it's easy to mistake that kindness for something else. And I get that, bestie. Especially when you're a chunky girl. Because I am also a chunky girl.
Aww. Sheriff Keller, Featherhead, Werther's, and Sister Woodhouse call Jughead into the principal's office.
That's a series of nonsense names.
They say that Ethel escaped from the sisters and ask if he knows anything about this. He says no. Keller asks if they searched his train car, would they find anything? Jughead says, go ahead, but he'd appreciate it if they don't trash it again. I love Jughead's like, oh no, she's gone.
That's crazy.
That sucks. I'm so sorry that happened.
The amount that these children hate authority figures is so funny to me. And they like, do not fear them.
Yeah. And then, yeah, like I said, just like, hey, if you're going to go through my train car, can you not let my dog out again? Super rude.
He's a good boy.
Thanks. Jughead and Ethel arrive at the Pep Comics party. Jug is dressed as a hobo, and Ethel is wearing a mask. Everyone's favorite Riverdale character, Bernie, runs up to Jughead and hugs him. Jug introduces him and Ethel, and Bernie says it's going to be a crazy night. And he runs off, and they decide to start looking around.
So, do you think Jughead's dressed as a hobo as reference to that one sick burn of Cheryl's a couple seasons ago?
I think that it's a reference to the multiple burns that Cheryl has made, and also the fact that he, like, really what, like, in season six? I think that we like, because like Jughead went and he lived on Sketch Alley for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's absolutely a reference.
And also, please excuse us if the hobo is not in fashion as a phrase anymore. We don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So if it's not, apology.
Well, I agree. But also, like, it's not a Halloween costume as well. You know, that's somebody's struggles.
Oh, yeah. No, it's... Nope.
Yeah. All of it is very 50s.
Yeah.
My favorite part of this scene, which is saying something because Bernie is delightful, is Jughead walking in, seeing people making out, and then just completely just looking away and walking by. Like, absolutely not fazed.
He's like, bro, I'm not interested. I haven't murdered us all.
He's like, anyway. So, Bernie comes in, Light of My Life, Return of the King, and we have Hoa Jughead... And Bernie tells him to go and get himself a snootful. I've never heard this before in my life.
Really?
It apparently is called, apparently it means enough alcoholic drink to make one drunk.
Yeah.
Never heard this before in my life. I literally was like, a snootle? A snoofle? What is he saying?
I'm sure I've completely contradicted this in the past because I completely forgot that I did this. But one, I learned a lot of lingo from Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. Two, I used to watch a lot of 50s, 60s musicals.
Okay.
So like when he said snootful, I was like, I understood that reference.
Good for you.
But I couldn't tell you how or where. I think it's just from those musicals.
I honestly thought that it was going to be like a themed drink specifically for the party called a snoot flute.
That would have been cute.
Well, yeah, because, like, first of all, it's like a flute of champagne, like a flute of alcohol. So that made sense to me. But I was thinking, and this is where my brain went, even though it's not even the truth of what happened at all. But I'd be very excited by that because one Archie Comics character we still haven't seen for some freaking reason is Professor Flutesnoot. Do you remember Professor Flutesnoot?
Oh, I thought you were just making a fun little joke. You're actually referencing something.
Yeah, like Professor Flutesnoot was like a whole thing. And we have not seen him this entire show for some reason.
Well, remember when we were like, oh, where's Grundy? And then Grundy turned out to be a predator?
Yeah.
So, less where's Grundy and more... Like, none of those more iconic characters from the adults made it into the show, and they just made up new ones instead.
Yeah. You know, like, we got, like, Coach Clayton, and we got, like, obviously Weatherby and stuff like that, and I'm just like, we got Burble, like, I'm just like, where's Professor Flutesnoot?
All right, well, you got me there.
Was he just too goofy for you?
Yeah. He was too silly goofy.
Is he just too goofy for you, Riverdale?
He was too silly goofy.
And we got, like, the janitor and everything, too. Anyway.
I'm sorry that, I'm so sorry that you're upset.
I'll be okay. I just kind of thought that it was a themed drink called a snoot flute, and I was like, there he is! There's Professor Flutesnoot! He's here!
At the teenage party!
But no, it turns out it's a snootful, apparently.
Alright.
Oh yeah, Bernie! Bernie, you shouldn't tell teens to have alcohol, teen.
Kate, now do you see why I thought he was a teenager?
Bernie, that's bad boy behavior.
Okay, so then can we just assume that Bernie is a teenager?
I don't think so, because he's always there. I think it's his full-time job.
I'm so confused.
Either way, Bernie, you're on thin ice. Love you, guy, but careful. comics party, Jughead is asking some guy, Randall, if he wrote The Milkman Cometh, which we didn't know what the name of it was until now, but that's fun. Randall did not. So we cut to him asking some other guy, Jonah, the same thing. Jonah did not. He asks one more person, some other guy in a Batman costume. And Batman says the Milkman story was one of Ted Sullivan's stories. So Jug asks, is Ted here? But Batman says no, Ted is dead. He was found having killed himself in his apartment shortly after that story was published, saying he'd never write anything as good. Batman adds that—
hang on, isn't Ted one of the writers?
Yes!
One of the writers of Riverdale?
Straight up, that's his full name.
Honestly, I love when writers do crap like that.
Yeah. Batman adds that it's a metaphor, a critique of America that says the enemy is us. Jughead doesn't know what the hell he's saying, but Batman leans in and says, the enemy is here, at home, and America's the enemy.
Batman is right. When Batman says that the enemy—
but also I'm just like, okay, dude.
No, when Batman says the enemy is American wholesome homogeny, he's right. That is such an important line to have right now.
Yeah, and it's cool because it's like, it's interesting because it's sort of like played as like, this dude is crazy, but like, he's kind of right.
He's completely right. And I also think that it's something that you could invoke later as like a flashback for Jughead realizing that there's something wrong.
Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. And Batman was the one who knew it all along.
Well,
this random guy.
He is pretty smart from what I've heard. I'm not really a Batman girly.
Yeah, and really, really rich.
I'm a Tony Stark girly, which goes against Bruce. Every single one of my ideals. Actually, no, it doesn't, because after Tony went into his bad things, he became an anti-capitalist king.
Yeah. Love that for him.
Thank you.
I did, like, Feels Tone gets 1 point for dressing as Santa. I thought that was very funny.
That was actually quite creative.
Yeah. And I did also think it was funny that people really seem to have differing opinions on the story. Like, when Jughead asks the first guy, he's just like, I wish I had wrote that. It was so good. And the next guy was like, yeah, I did not write that one. And thank God, because it wasn't, it was bad.
And then the third guy was like, it's the deepest thing that's ever been written.
Right. So they killed off Ted.
That's Letterboxd in a nutshell.
Yeah, Ted is dead now, and I'm just surprised that Jughead hadn't heard about this.
Yeah, this is convenient.
Seems like it had only come out a couple months ago. Yeah.
Well, when it serves the plot, darling.
Yeah. Batman says, homogenous, and I'm just like, oh my god, he's talking about milk.
He's talking about milk.
It's scary.
The milk is the lie.
Too spooky. The milk. So Jughead shows Ethel where Brad's apartment is. She asks him if he wants to come inside, but he declines, partially because he has to feed Hot Dog. They say goodnight to each other, but when Ethel gets inside, the milkman is there! Jug runs into the same cat lady in the hallway, and she's disappointed that he's not the milkman since she heard his bottles again today. Jughead realizes what's going on and rushes back to the apartment. He kicks down the door to find Ethel having killed the milkman. She's holding a knife and says she told everyone it was a milkman.
Okay, I actually really liked this sequence. It was really well shot.
Ooh, yeah, I loved that shot of Jughead realizing. It was very cool.
He realizes, and then they do sort of like a fisheye lens as he's, looking down the hallway, and then when he's breaking in the door, the camera bounces with his shoulder off the door. And it was just, I really liked that. That was great filmmaking.
Now, it's been a while since I've been in film school, but like, that shot of Jughead is very cool, of his realization. As far as I remember, it's like a way to sort of like, you move the like lens, like the zoom lens, at the same time as you are actually like pulling back the camera. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like, it's like the camera view is staying in the same place, but the, like, the depth of field is changing, which is really cool.
Is that why it looks like fisheye?
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's like he looks like he's getting more in focus, or it looks like he's getting closer. Yeah, and it sort of, like, gets a little bit more fisheye-y, but he's sort of in the same place in the shot.
Oh, yeah, you know? That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how you do it, but if I'm wrong, sorry. Either way, cool shot. I mean, obviously this is like crazy, crazy stuff is about to happen, but my favorite part is Ethel going, do you want to come inside? And Jughead going, oh no, I'm good. Thanks though. I have to go feed my dog. It's okay. Like, he does not catch a hint.
No.
He does not catch a hint, and I love him so much.
I actually thought when she asked if he was going to come inside that he was going to get the hint and then, like, have to let her down gently.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Classically oblivious instead.
Mm-hmm.
Charming.
One day it's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, Ethel. I understand completely. You're both weird little freaks, affectionate. Unfortunately, he has already found his perfect weird little freak, affectionate. Yeah, and that is, in fact, come back. Tabitha.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I bet Melvin is inside. And I was right.
Melvin?
Melvin, who knows if his name's actually Melvin? I don't know. I've been calling him Melvin. Jughead almost also murdered because hot dog not fed.
What?
If hot dog was fed, like if he had fed hot dog earlier, Jughead be dead. He had gone inside. Jughead dead. Jug dead.
You know what? You are correct.
Shout out hot dog for being hungry.
Shout out to that little guy.
Yeah. And then Ethel killed Melvin.
I love that shot. Shannon Purser is so great when she's doing the shocked horror.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, holding, like, it was just such a classic, like, horror movie moment where she's got the knife in her hand.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, Ethel, that you are now a murderer, but I love that Ethel got revenge, you know? Like, I love that it was Ethel.
Ethel not only got revenge, she got vindication, which is, yeah. Hey, I wasn't crazy, and you sent me away because for freaking nothing, when in reality, mm-hmm. I was in danger the entire time.
Yeah.
So now, I wonder how this is gonna change Keller's investigation into everything.
Do some self-reflection, Keller.
He's a cop, he will not.
Oh my god. Do you remember that whole storyline about how when Keller was in high school, like, the guy, like, Moose's dad was, like, in love with him and, like, kissed him that one time?
I totally forgot that Keller, like, had a fruit era.
Right? Right? Except Keller was like, what? But now I'm like, did that happen? Is that why you're so homophobic?
You know, I used to hate that cliche because I thought it was untrue or that we'd move past it as a society. But as it turns out, boy, that came back.
Yeah, and I don't even think that, like, I think Keller was just like, like, in the original timeline, he was just like, let him down slowly. Sorry, what is happening?
Very gracious about it.
Yeah, yeah. But now, of course, I bet, like, 50s Keller was like, you, what? Cart this guy off to the sisters also.
Burn the witch.
Male equivalent of the sisters or whatever.
Burn the witch. Burn the witch. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's the Jughead storyline. And then we're going to talk about everything else. But first, I'm going to talk to you guys about Patreon, which is a service in which you can donate to some of your favorite creators. Our Patreon is patreon.com/theaficionados. We've got a couple of cool things that you can sign up for over there. It's a monthly donation of $1 or more. The $1 level gets you early access to all the podcasts. $2 is our Discord server. $5 is 10% off at 3 different small businesses, which are all in the description. And $10 is our Patreon-only podcast, which I think a lot of people seem to like.
I love our Patreon-only podcast.
I know. I'm so excited to record the next episode with you tomorrow.
Oh my god, are we doing that tomorrow? Oh, that's right. We are doing that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, slay.
Yeah. I have to write down. Our next one that we're doing is a Kiss, Marry, Kill. We already did one, and now we're doing another one, because it's fun.
It's so fun.
And I gotta write down some. I gotta write down some.
Same. I gotta think of some stuff. Actually, yeah, yeah. Nope. I just had an idea. Great.
Okay, perfect. But anyway, if you guys can help us out on Patreon, check out the small businesses. Like I said, they're all in the description. Or just recommend us to a friend, because that's free and it still really helps.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks. And now Brittany's going to handle the notes for all the other stuff.
Okay, I can. All right.
Great.
Veronica smiles and drinks her morning coffee, still living at the Babylonium. When she gets to school, she's dressed as a sexy witch for Halloween. Nobody else is dressed up and everyone is staring. This is a Mean Girls moment.
I was just like, yeah, I was like, wait, no one else dressed up? Come on. And then I was like, wait, it's because it's the 29th. Like they say in the thing, in the narration that it's the 29th. And so I'm like,
hang on. So is it the last day of school before Halloween when you would theoretically wear them? Or is she just like, no, because if the 29th was a Friday.
No, I think that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, because then it's on a Sunday.
Halloween's on a Sunday. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I'm like, yeah, that's like definitely a thing that you would do if Halloween was on a weekend in like middle school for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And probably high school if this high school wasn't a stick in the mud.
Yeah, my high school did it. We loved Halloween.
Yeah, yeah. So she's right for this. She would be dress coded immediately. In the 50s?
Everything they wear would be dress coded. Are you kidding me?
Strapless? But like strapless?
Yeah.
Babe, what are you doing, man?
May I say though?
Not to school.
Looked amazing.
Oh, it was amazing.
It was like kind of like invoked like a little bit like classic comic Sabrina.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm with you.
Ronnie gets to the student lounge where the whole gang, minus Jughead, because he's on a milk journey, is.
Yep. He's going to come in later and yell about milk. Don't worry.
He has a milk moment later. Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah.
She asks them what's up with the negative response. Betty emphasizes that it is not her costume because she does indeed look hot. Betty, I know what you are.
Yeah, we all know.
Like, Lily plays it like that, too, which I think is absolutely fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Like, Lily, Thank you so much for my rights.
We love you.
The gang explains that in Riverdale, Halloween is just for children. Teens aren't allowed into the streets after sundown because a couple years ago, there was an accident on Halloween night. Four students were killed while out causing trouble, having run off the road. Veronica asks what they're supposed to do. They say they just stay home and hand out candy. Kevin says that Tom will be out patrolling the streets, which we never come back to. It's true.
Truly.
Tom did his job. Julian's out there smashing and causing stuff all night, and Tom's like, red.
Uh-huh. Multiple times.
I know he's asleep in his cruiser.
Yeah. I think I have multiple notes in here that's just like, cops? Question mark?
None.
Patrolling? Question mark?
None to be found.
Okay.
Stupid.
Someone's gonna be in trouble at the end of the episode. No spoilers.
Reggie adds that in Duck Creek, they never celebrated it either. Ronnie argues that teens need Halloween to dress up and have fun and to kiss each other. She tells them that her parents used to throw the best costume parties every Halloween, and then at midnight, the three of them would gather to celebrate Dia de los Muertos and honor the dead. It was her favorite family tradition. She says, screw what the town thinks. She's going to celebrate no matter what.
Good for her.
I have never related to Ronnie more in my life.
We
do not... Skipping Halloween is not optional.
Right, like, literally, teens aren't allowed... Teens? I trick-or-treated in college.
I don't know... I mean, obviously, it's meant to be like, why can't teens trick-or-treat? Yeah. But, like, so...
And they're like, it's for your safety.
A bunch of teens got in a car accident. So that means that none of the teens are then allowed to go out on Halloween night because some people die. What about when people get in car accidents every other day of the year?
Yeah.
What's the story then? Sounds like it was just an excuse to control them and stop them from going out and having fun.
Yeah, it's giving Footloose.
Oh my god, it's totally giving Footloose.
At first, when they were like, oh yeah, this thing happened, I was like, ooh, I was hoping we were sort of bringing back the thing that FP went away for. You know, like, they said there was some sort of, like, I can't remember what it was, like somebody stole something.
Yeah, it was a robbery or something.
Yeah, a robbery. That is the exact word I was looking for. I kept thinking there was a thievery, and that is...
Thievery is fantastic.
Anyway...
No, it's thievery now.
Okay. But yeah, I'm just hoping we were sort of bringing that back. But so we got a whole different thing, which is fine. The other thing that I had was that it was nice to hear about Veronica talking about her culture.
Same. She clearly doesn't get to share it as much here. And
no.
She is surrounded by a great deal of whiteness.
Yes.
And she doesn't really have a community.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we've seen it a couple times. So, like, we've talked about her quinceañera, you know, we met Abuela and, you know, all of these things and stuff. But it sort of felt like it was always sort of on the back burner. And the writers were always sort of like, her dad calls her mija.
Yeah.
Is that enough?
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Remember, don't forget.
Yeah.
Her dad calls her mija. You know?
I think that Cammy, Marisol and...
Mark
put a lot of what we got into the show.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then lastly she says that Halloween is practically her middle name, and I was like, oh, does her middle name start with, like, H or something? No, it's Cecilia.
Her middle name is Cecilia?
Yeah.
That's really cute.
For a second I was like, oh, is it because it's Hermione? No, it's Cecilia.
No, I think she's just having a silly, goofy time because she loves Halloween, same.
Although I do remember that Hermione's middle name is Apollonia.
Oh, yeah, that's because it's such a cool middle name.
Yeah.
All right. Betty, Reggie, and Archie are still working on Reggie's car in the shop classroom. Oh, I just remembered what happens in this scene. I'm so happy for Lily Reinhart.
Mm-hmm.
Unless... No, yeah, I am. Archie can't believe Reggie has never celebrated Halloween. They talk about this while Betty fantasizes about both of them kissing her at the same time. Archie interrupts her with his idea. Since Reggie has never had a real Halloween, they should give him one. Reggie asks what a real Halloween entails, and Betty says trick-or-treating, visiting a graveyard, and kissing in a haunted house. And she is correct.
Okie dokie. I was like, man, what a filming day. I feel like every day they show up to set and they go, okay, who am I making out with today?
Yeah.
I know they've taken so many COVID tests. Oh boy.
Oh, so many intimacy coordinators.
Oh boy.
The way that they shot this like it was like a straight up threesome, I kind of love, because it shows Betty's idea of gender and sexuality is very much that these two men would not mind.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They just vibing with all these like sparks in the background. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was funny. It was great.
It was good.
I also love that when Betty is not wearing her embroidered shirts, she still has patches that say Betty on them.
Oh, bless.
And then Blanche, of course, said, I personally feel like there are better characters to do a sexy car-themed montage with, but maybe that's just a me thing.
I don't know. This was the perfect characters for me.
Yeah, Blanche just loves Gladys. That's all.
Oh, Blanche. Oh, now I'm picking up what you're putting down. Same. Hang on now, because I have seen Gina Gershon kiss women, and it is extremely good.
Oh yeah, Blanche, I mean, if we're gonna do that, it's gonna be Gladys, Alice, and FP.
Your brain is huge.
Right?
God damn it. Of course, this is the non-racist Alice, just so we're clear.
Of course.
All right. In her office, Veronica is trying to come up with ideas for what to do on Halloween, but she hears something coming from the projection room. A little spooked, she goes to check it out, but it's just Kevin and Clay making out.
Knew it!
Of course. She asks what they're doing here, and Clay lies and says he's just picking up his keys. Kevin asks what she's doing here, and she lies too, saying, oh, just some brainstorming. She says she knows exactly what they'll be doing on Halloween night. They're going to host a ghost show here at the Babylonium. She says no one should be able to object to this because they'll technically be keeping teens off the street. They'll be doing a 1920s glam dress code. Kevin asks what the ghost show is, and Ronnie explains it badly, but says at midnight they'll be raising the dead. She does not at all explain what a ghost show is.
Hold on, I'm putting something together here, Brittany.
Oh?
So, first of all, it's supposed to... Yesterday was the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a Friday because then why would she dress up?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then she comes to school the next day and hands out stuff and they're all at school the day after.
Oh my god.
So, did she dress up...
On the 28th?
On the Thursday before... On the... No, it was the 29th. So that means that Halloween was a Saturday, which makes more sense to me. But she dressed up on the Thursday.
Bestie, that is not how that works.
2 days before. Like, that doesn't make... Why did you do that?
That has never been how that works.
Anyway.
Yeah, I am.
I truly thought we were all on a Sunday. And now that I'm thinking about it, that is just not true.
All right. Well, that is...
Anyway.
Weird.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, we called, like, multiple episodes ago that Kevin and Clay at some point were gonna be macking on each other in the projection room, and I love that for us.
It feels good to be right.
And then Veronica's like, I totally don't live here. Just hanging out.
Yeah, everything's fine. I don't live here, and stop saying that I do. Like, I do, but, like, stop it.
Anyway.
I feel bad for her. I think it must be very hard and very lonely to be Veronica.
Absolutely.
Weirdly, this is my favorite version of Veronica.
Mm.
Without the toxic presence of her parents and her just kind of making her own way, it feels, and also not really doing the romance thing.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. However, 2 episodes until Hiram shows up again.
I forgot.
I think it sounds like he's only in that one episode, though.
You know what? So. Yeah. He's in that one episode, and I have missed Mark Consuelos' handsome face.
Look how easy that was, Skeet. Look how easy it was to show up for one episode.
I will never give up hope.
I will never give up hope until we are in the finale and there are 2 minutes left.
Yeah. No. Until the credits roll on the finale. Then yeah. I will give up hope.
In other news, I bought a Riverdale calendar this year.
No,
my mom
didn't.
Usually makes My mom usually makes family calendars with like a bunch of family pictures on it and stuff, but she was like too busy this year. My grandma was in the hospital. It was like, anyway, she didn't have time to make it this year. And so I just went to the calendar store and one of the only ones they had left was this Riverdale calendar. I said, great, I love Riverdale. And guess who's featured on June?
Probably not Cheryl and Tony, even though it's Pride Month.
Nope, it sure is. I'm staring at Hiram's face right now, just Hiram.
Oh my god, how hard would it have been?
I was like, you know what? How did they know that this was the month that Mark Consuelos was showing back up to play Hiram?
They're playing the long game. The merchandising team playing the long game.
How'd they know? Incredible.
That's really funny. All right. Spooky intro card with Rivervale scream in the background. And then an ad says that Riverdale is brought to you in part by Lactaid.
I bet you didn't see that because you watched it on Netflix, didn't you?
I sure did watch it on Netflix, but I saw it on Twitter.
Did you hear about the Lactaid thing?
Yes, I did.
It was incredible. First of all, very fun logo.
That is good marketing.
Love it. But they said Riverdale is brought to you in part by Lactaid. And then they did a Lactaid ad. It was hilarious.
They did.
It was incredible.
Such a good job with this like tie-in.
It was smart. I loved it. It was incredible. It's my favorite thing they've ever done. Well, that's probably not true, but...
Way better than any of the Old Navy tie-ins they did, which were really, really bad.
Oh, yeah, that was not good.
Remember that?
Yes. I just bought these baby clothes from Old Navy.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Or, like, remember in season 2 when Cheryl was just like, now that we've seen Love, Simon...
Oh, my God.
I'll come out to you.
Now that we've seen Love, Simon, it's time for me to come out. I'm like, did you make her gaze for an ad?
I love...
And then you just went with it?
So much that one of the most iconic Shoney scenes of all time, the You're Sensational, was because of Love, Simon.
Yeah. It was an ad for a Just Okay movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Veronica, Clay, and Kevin sell tickets at school for the ghost show. Ronnie announces to everyone that the 4 students that died in a car crash a couple of years ago will be brought back to life in front of everyone, and no one bats an eye or has a problem with this. This happens quite a few times in this episode where, like, really disrespecting the dead, and I'm like,
really?
Ronnie, wasn't the whole thing respecting the dead?
like, a couple episodes ago, I think Blanche was on that episode, but we were talking about, like, how Veronica was like, James Dean, double feature, James Dean. And I'm like, bro, he just died. And, like, you knew him. Like, we were like, I bet Veronica was like, oh, I wish James hadn't died. And then I would have brought him in here and he would have made me more money. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'm just like, Veronica, you, they said that they died a couple years ago. Like, their parents are probably still kicking.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good.
Strange.
Not good.
This show has always had its characters have a very strange relationship. My Canadian is slipping out in a way that I cannot control. Relationship with death.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they are free to disrespect it, but then at other times it's the most serious thing in the entire world.
Yeah.
But isn't that just TV for you?
The only other thing I had was that, like, wow, Veronica had this idea last night and then by this morning she has all of this signage. I was like, that's a lot of work for the Riverdale Kinkos. And,
Riverdale Kinkos!
I just can't believe that, like, they got it done that fast, I guess, you know?
Well, you got a good incentive when you have Veronica Lodge throwing money at you.
That is true.
Just saying. Mm-hmm. Tony approaches Cheryl in the hallway and asks if they can spend Halloween together. She's performing at Ronnie's ghost show, but if Cheryl came along, it would be more fun. Cheryl declines, saying it's Vixen tradition to have a Halloween sleepover that she'll be hosting. Tony says it's fine, but Halloween is the one night of the year where everyone wears a mask, so therefore, gay people won't have to.
Yup. Lush said, I too am gay and love Halloween, but what is Tony saying here?
I don't know. I thought the implication was that if they were wearing masks, they could be more comfortable being out. But then that does not turn out to be the case later because no one's wearing a mask.
Yeah. So the idea that I sort of had where I tried to make it make sense in my brain was that it crumbled in front of me as soon as I started talking. I feel like
that's your brain on Riverdale.
Yeah. It's sort of like they're always wearing a mask.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. They're always wearing a mask because they're pretending not to be gay.
Always in the closet. Yep.
Yeah. And then on Halloween, everyone's pretending to be gay so they can take off their masks and just be gay?
I guess.
But not everyone's pretending to be gay.
It's the idea that you can hide behind the artifice of unreality, I think.
Like, yeah. Well, that's exactly what Cheryl says later. She says, if anybody asks me about it, I'll say I was possessed by the spirit of Halloween.
Yeah, there's no rules. Because, like, it's basically you can pretend for a night. But at the same time, it is quite funny that, like, they're like, oh, we can all wear masks. And then, of course, the masks don't end up being literal. They do end up being metaphorical.
Although Ethel's mask earlier was scary.
Yeah, Sam, so my wife is sitting behind me. She also watched the episode. Says, it makes sense because if Halloween is for pretending, then they can get away with being out because it's the spirit of Halloween. And that, everyone, is why Halloween is for queer people.
Yeah.
Uncle Frank gathers the Bulldogs to yell at them to not go out, quote unquote, wilding on Halloween, even though it used to be Bulldog tradition.
Okay. And Julian's like, yeah, I'm gonna ignore this immediately.
Yeah, I get that on account of, listen, I hate Julian, but if someone told me not to celebrate Halloween, I will be doing the opposite.
Yeah. Blanche said, how would you know the tradition, Uncle Frank? You've been here for like 5 minutes.
You probably went to high school there.
Yeah, but I think that like, oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was gonna be like, well, he knows that he hasn't been here when those people died, but like, yeah, it was before then.
Probably heard about it.
Yeah.
But,
I think he did go to high school there.
I also like that he was like, hey, don't go out and commit crimes. And Julia was like, red.
I will definitely be committing crimes, specifically speeding.
And vandalism.
As well as vandalism and, destruction of property.
Destruction of property, for sure.
So, yeah.
Whatever. Whatever makes Tom Keller's life harder.
He's like, I'm wearing a mask, so no one's gonna know it's me, even though this car is very obviously... Are they in his car? I think they are, aren't they?
I think they are. The man's stupid as hell.
I think so.
He's dumb as hell.
I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure they're in his car.
In the locker room, Julian invites everyone to go out wild in anyways. Fang says no, he's performing at the Babylonium tonight. Reggie also declines because he doesn't want to get into trouble, and Julian makes fun of him for it. And I'm like, Julian, your argument was so bad that you only got 3 other boys to go with you. So, like, who's really looking like the moron here?
Yeah.
It's you.
Wait, was that performance that night?
Yeah.
So on the 30th? I'm so confused about the timeline.
No, this is the 31st now. This is Halloween.
Oh, this is like the next day.
Yeah, this is Halloween. Do not try and make sense of the timeline of Riverdale. It
yeah.
Wibbly wobbly. Don't do it.
Cause like Veronica said Halloween, and then Veronica and Clay and Kevin sell tickets at the school. Mm-hmm. And then in the locker room, that's a different day?
Maybe so.
We have to say that's true. We just have to.
Wait, to preserve our sanity, we're going to.
So was there school on the 31st? Why didn't you dress up then?
Because
Veronica!
Yeah. She was working that day, actually.
If there was school on the 31st, and it has to be the 31st that they did all this performance stuff, mm-hmm. because that night, Veronica does Dia de los Muertos. Yep. Okay, how did they learn their song so quickly? And all the choreography? Never mind.
Did you happen to look up if that was a real song or not?
It sure is, Brittany, and do I ever have stuff for you about it?
They might have just known it then.
I don't know, man!
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to tell you about it. I love that Fangs loves cartoons. He's always wearing, like, a cartoon shirt. Mm-hmm. And I also love that Fangs is, like, so unbothered by Julian. He's like, okay, well, I'm famous, so.
Yeah. Bye. He's like, yeah, I actually have better things to do. And Julian's like, I am definitely threatened by that, but I understand that you are fancier than I am, so I can't bully you about it.
Yeah. And then I also love that they all have, like, little Halloween decorations just everywhere in the school. They're just like, just a reminder, I know that it's June in real life, but it is Halloween in Riverdale.
It's Halloween, but you're not allowed to celebrate it. So the decorations, don't get any ideas.
Oh my god, why would they decorate? You're right. Why would they decorate it if they're not allowed to celebrate? Oh my god.
Asking too many questions, bestie.
Never mind.
In the girls' locker room, Betty tells Ronnie that she and Archie are taking Reggie out for his first Halloween. Ronnie asks what she's up to, and Betty tells her that she's always had a crush on Archie, but now she also has one on Reggie. Veronica says she should use Halloween to figure out which of them she really likes. I, once again, just want to say that I'm really sad that Betty has been taken out of Investigator Betty role and is now just boy crazy. Mm. I just feel like it needs to be said again.
So fair. I completely agree. Yeah. I don't even have anything to sort of, like, debate you on that. I completely agree. That's exactly what they're doing. Yeah. I thought it's... Betty's like, I also have butterflies for you, Veronica. What? Who said that?
What? Mm. No, that's crazy. Unless...
I'm not gonna say anything about that. What?
Unless?
I don't know.
What?
I like that Veronica was like, okay, but you have to tell me all about it tomorrow. Because Veronica just loves gossip and I relate to
Same.
Her. I thought that there were a lot of really cool shots this episode, like we talked about with Jughead, but, like, the transition from Archie closing his locker and Veronica opening her locker was very cool.
Yeah, it was very well done.
And then Blanche said that Betty, Archie, and Reggie should simply thruple, and I think Betty is probably also would be fine with that.
I think Betty would be super into that, and I would be happy for her.
Yeah.
A triangle is a good shape. You do not have mm-hmm. to break it up.
So true. The strongest shape.
The strongest shape. I'm looking at you, mm-hmm. Ted Lasso. At Thornhill, Cheryl, Julian, Nana Rose, and Penelope are having dinner. Penelope tells Cheryl that she's been thinking about her sleepover, and instead of her bedroom like usual, they should all sleep in the living area so no gay stuff happens. Julian gags. So Penelope is once again on to Cheryl.
Shout out to Nana Rose for just showing up literally just to eat some food. Respect. Of course, they all sit at the same time side of the table. Classic. I hate Julian. But I really did laugh at him being like, yuck, mother! I'm trying to eat here! I thought it was very Schmidt from New Girl.
It absolutely is.
Yuck, mother!
Yuck, mother!
Stop, mother! Disgusting, mother! But then you also brought up it's very David Rose.
Oh my god, it's the most David Rose thing I have ever seen.
Which Julian would hate! Because David is queer.
Well, Julian hates everyone who's different than him.
So true.
Everyone who's different is a threat to his masculinity.
Yuck, mother!
Yuck, mother! Folded in. Veronica is decorating the Babylonium for tonight when Alice, my cinnamon apple, shows up. She tells Ronnie that every Halloween, she and Hal host Shock Theater, or rather, a special RIVW episode where they dress up in spooky costumes and introduce old horror movies, and that all the families in town watch every year. Veronica says that they're not really expecting a family crowd tonight, only teenagers. Alice calls her a natural-born troublemaker. That's T, but so is Alice. But says this event is fine because it won't affect their ratings, but Veronica has been put on notice. Okay.
Whatever that means.
Thank you so much. That means nothing.
I didn't realize that Shock Theater was its own thing. So on Wikipedia it says, Shock Theater is a package of 52 pre-1948 classic horror films from Universal Studios released for television syndication in October 1957.
Oops.
That's after now. It included Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy, The Invisible Man, The Wolfman, as well as a few non-horror spy and mystery films.
Man, this sounds amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
I would watch the hell out of that. Like, if I lived back then.
Yeah. Blanche said, I love when Alice causes problems on purpose. She's so funny. Heart emoji.
Alice is like, I'm a huge racist, but she does also look like Machen Amick, so unfortunately, I will have to at least appreciate that part of her. I just need her to drop the shtick, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what if you just stopped being a harpy crazy lady?
Mm-hmm. The thing that weirded me out about this was that she was just like, I will allow you to keep doing this. I was like, I will allow?
I don't...
What are you gonna do about it? Like, you're not the police.
I don't think it's really up to you, bestie.
Yeah. Do you have jurisdiction over... Like, that's... Huh? What do you... You know?
Yeah.
I was like, what?
It's, very odd She's like, yeah. Allow me to demonstrate my power. And I'm like, there's nothing here. The bag you just showed us is empty.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see. Midge approaches Cheryl and asks if she can be excused from the Halloween sleepover because she wants to see Fangs perform. At first, Cheryl says absolutely not because this is a Vixen tradition, but she quickly changes her mind. She says she wants to go to the Babylonium tonight too. She says she'll ask Evelyn to host the sleepover instead, and she asks Midge if they go together, will she keep everything that happens there a secret? Midge agrees. She's good at keeping secrets. Cheryl says she is too, and maybe they can talk to each other sometime. They make plans to discuss their lives after the party.
Cheryl and Midge finally friends? Question mark.
Cheryl's like, I think I can come out to her, and I kind of love
thrilled.
It.
Thrilled. Thrilled.
Same.
And we sort of, like, we had the idea that we were like, does Cheryl know about it? And we had guessed yes, but clearly not.
No. I really did think, but this is great too, because I really did want Cheryl to have other friends who aren't Evelyn.
Right, exactly.
You know, friends who aren't snitches.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Another banger of a dress from Cheryl. Cheryl's got a great wardrobe this season. Huge fan.
She is serving 24/7. It must be exhausting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was also thinking, before I had finished watching the scene, I was like, I wish Midge would just quit being a Vixen. Cheryl is mean to her. You know, she keeps getting, like, you know, she gets stopped doing things that she wants to do because of whatever Vixen rule. You know, I was like, Midge, just quit. But then this scene happened and I was like, yeah. You know what? That's nice.
I like that.
that could
stay. At first, Cheryl's initial instinct was very much like Cheryl for most of this show, which is, you're not allowed to have any kind of fun because I'm the queen bee and what I say goes. And then she's like, oh, actually, that's a crappy way to live.
Yeah. Cheryl's learning. I love that.
Archie and Reggie are getting dressed in costumes that Mary made from scratch. We don't get to see her, but Archie said she was sad because this will probably be the last time she gets to make Halloween costumes until Archie has kids. Archie asks what he thinks Betty's going as, and Reggie says probably a princess or Rosie the Riveter. Notice that they segued from Archie being a father to Betty.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting? Reggie adds that he can't believe how much Betty knows about cars. Archie is a little sus about this and asks how they started fixing his car together. Reggie says that she offered and he was getting some vibes from her. Archie says that he is and has been getting vibes from her since way before he got to town. They wonder if Betty wants to get with one of them tonight, and they decide that if something happens with Betty and one of them, the other will leave them alone.
Great pact, honestly. You know, it's like, it's
respecting Betty's choice.
It's a good decision. Right, but respecting Betty's choice, and also then we don't have to see Archie and Reggie, like, because they fought last episode, but it was, like, in a funny, cute way. But, like, I don't want to see them enemies.
No.
You know?
Which, like,
I'm glad that it's just, like, if there's a love triangle brewing, one of us pops off the triangle and leaves, you know?
Which, like, I guess that's another solution to that problem. I was kind of worried when Reggie chose to get in the car with Julian. I was kind of worried that that was going to be, like, Reggie entering his rebellious boy era, aka Reggie for a good chunk of the show. But no, it just turned out that they really needed to do something traumatic to him instead.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Blanche reminded us that Jellybean went as Rosie the Riveter, and I'm pretty sure that was literally Halloween, like the first Halloween episode that we got.
I think it was.
Like the one that was called Halloween. Yeah. And Betty went as Laurie Strode. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. That was a great episode.
Yeah, so that was cool. They're sort of like bringing back Jellybean in that, and I sort of love that.
Same. Also, I love that Reggie knows that she would want to go as a feminist icon.
Yeah.
And Betty was like, yeah.
She's like a princess.
But also, like, I'm going to always subvert expectations no matter what.
Yeah, I love that he was like, a princess. Or wait, that doesn't work at all. And then he says something else, you know? That was cool.
He's like, oh, something feminist.
I love them bringing up Dad, Archie. I'm waiting. I'm waiting very patiently.
We're getting our crumbs. We're getting our endgame. We're getting closer.
I love jealous Archie as well. He's so funny. They're so sweet.
The way that they're both so earnest, but both respect... Because here's the thing about this pact. It's actually really respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only do they respect that if it's a triangle, they want to preserve their friendship, but they respect the fact that it's Betty's choice.
Yeah.
And that whatever Betty chooses doesn't mean that either of them are less and that they can be grown-ups about it. And I love them.
Yeah. I love them too. And I'm like, I wish you guys would just kiss each other.
Same.
Archie says, you got yourself a deal there, Buck Rogers. And so I thought, is that who Reggie's supposed to be? Like, Archie's just like a generic cowboy. Reggie, unclear to me. Is he just like a Martian?
I think maybe they're both supposed to be Buck Rogers.
Somebody. Okay, so here's what I got for Buck Rogers. Buck Rogers is a science fiction action adventure hero and feature comic strip created by Philip Francis Nowlan first appearing in daily U.S. newspapers on January 7th, 1929. The adventures of Buck Rogers in comic strips, movies, radio, and television became an important part of American popular culture. Buck Rogers has been credited with bringing into popular media the concept of space exploration, following in the footsteps of literary pioneers such as Jules Verne and H.G. Wells. It was on January 22nd, 1930 that Buck Rogers first ventured into space aboard a rocket ship in his fifth newspaper comic story, Tiger Men from Mars. The popular phenomenon paralleled the development of space technology in the 20th century and introduced Americans to outer space as a familiar environment for swashbuckling adventure.
This leads directly into Star Trek. Like, you can connect that right. line real quickly.
But then, so I googled Buck Rogers and I couldn't see a picture of him in the outfit that Reggie was wearing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, is he just calling him Buck Rogers because space? Or
maybe
because that's who he is. Unclear. If anyone knows who they're supposed to be in particular, let us know.
Yeah. So whatever Archie and Reggie are, cowboy, Buck Rogers, baby. Dilton is a pumpkin yeah. head, and they are at the Cooper House mm-hmm. watching Alice and Hal on the TV. I could not tell you what they're dressed as, but it's certainly a vibe. I think it's supposed to be like a mad scientist and his assistant.
Yeah, just like a creepy, something creepy weird.
Yeah, like kind of Frankenstein-y, but not quite.
Yeah, exactly.
Reggie and Archie thank Dilton for coming along, and he implies that he's there for Betty, who is coming down the stairs. Aww. The boys compliment her costume. Dan, Betty, your bobbies. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I'm allowed to say that. Lily Reinhart and I are very close named. Betty yeah. explains that she's Goldilocks because she couldn't decide on a bed, so she tried all three. This girl is too horny to function.
Bro, I literally was like, shout out, man. Good job, Dilton. Dilton's here. She said three.
Dilton's in the game.
He's in the game. I literally was like, I've been waiting for this one.
Like, I don't...
Turn it up. Because first of all, she danced with Dilton at Riverdale Grandstand. We didn't get to see it, but she did. And then, like, when she was having her, like, big fantasy a couple episodes ago, she walked in and Dilton was the one who was, like, making the volcano. And I really thought we were going to see her making out with Dilton. And I'm like, we're getting there. We are making our way towards Bilton. We are waiting.
Betty's like, I'm going to keep my options open. If I find you attractive and you breathe... You are on my list.
We're here. Yeah.
It's everyone. It doesn't matter your gender or sexuality.
I thought it was so...
She's coming for you.
It is so sweet that Dilton has a crush on Betty. It is so sweet.
Oh, the man has taste.
So cute. And I was just like, Lily, I hope you enjoyed this confidence boost. Look at all of these boys who have a crush on your character because you're so pretty.
Yeah, I also... You know what? From what I've seen, actually, it looks like Lily, Mads, and Cammy really liked recording this season. So... Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They seem to have a fun time.
I do hope she felt great about herself.
Yeah.
And as a gay woman, Lily, oh my God. All right. Moving on. Reggie, Betty, Archie, and Dilton as their child go trick-or-treating together. I think this uh-huh. is such a funny workaround.
Like, whose child is this?
Like, why is your child the same height as a teenager? Don't worry about it.
Right, and it's just like, okay, so if Betty is the child's mom, first of all, they're supposed to be teens.
I think they're just supposed to be, like, siblings.
Right, they're supposed to be like, we're just taking our kid brother out trick-or-treating, and then also Reggie's here?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
It worked. What if they have two brothers and a sister? And then that's their little brother.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't matter that Reggie's, you know, not white. I mean, it's fine. Everything makes sense. Don't worry about it.
It's literally giving it's giving Stranger Things where Lucas is like, I'm adopted.
Right. Yes, exactly.
We're all the Driscolls. I'm adopted.
We're all the Driscolls. I'm adopted.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Or what does he say? Does he say something like that?
Or either adopted or a cousin or something.
He goes extended. Yeah, that's what it is. Extended. Yeah, it's good.
Julian and his bulldogs drive down the street they're on, smashing pumpkins and mailboxes from their car. Dilton says he's leaving, considering he's dressed as a pumpkin head. That's fair. Mm-hmm. Betty says she's got a cemetery to get to.
Yeah. So they're like, basically, they need this child to not be suspicious, because they're not allowed to go if they're teens. When the lady opens the door, and they all say trick or treat, they have such sweet faces on. I really feel like Charles is real hay-hamming it up, and I love it.
They're doing great.
It was so cute. Because, like,
teenagers want candy and to have fun. They deserve this.
Yeah. Oh, it was so sweet. And then Dilton left, and I was like, come on. No kiss for Dilton.
Come back, little one.
Man, Dilton, you gotta stick around, dude.
He said, I'm taking myself out of the game. I can't play at this level.
I'm erasing myself from the narrative.
Aw, oh, Tilton. Bless your heart. At the Babylonium, Fangs performs a cover of Hell by Squirrel Nut Zippers. Is that real?
Sure is. And do you want to know what year it came out?
I sure do.
Well, Brittany, it came out in 1996.
Yeah, there's no rules on Riverdale, I think.
So
it sounds like it would be from the 50s, I guess.
Yeah. No, it completely makes sense. It's like perfectly in, like, it's in on theme, but
hilariously out of date.
Did he write the song? Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
They're like, actually, no, this is his original song.
Okay, Fangs is Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Love that. That's his future. Fangs is dressed as a vampire while everyone else is in their 20s outfits for some reason. He's a 20s vampire.
Yeah, okay.
Cheryl arrives and Tony greets her right away. Cheryl says that as far as anyone else in the Vixen knows, she and Midge have influenza and are quarantining for the night. Tony says it means a lot to her that she came, and she and Veronica are both excited for her to perform with them.
It's nice to see Fangs performing. You know, they keep saying, Fangs doing all these performances, and we never get to see him. So it's nice to see him perform.
I think they spent the show's entire budget on the costumes and decorations for this scene.
Yeah, yeah. My other thing was that Cheryl's just like, Midge, we can't tell anybody that we were there. And I'm like,
you're performing on stage.
But you're going up on stage and performing? Like, what?
Babe.
Okay.
Babe, what do you mean?
I don't know.
You are performing on stage.
I don't know.
Listen, sometimes being gay makes you a little dumb, I guess.
I guess.
I'm gay, so I'm just saying.
Yeah, are you familiar?
Absolutely, I'm dumb as hell.
Uh-huh.
A pretty girl can blind you to a lot of things.
Yeah. Mm, I'm sure.
Betty and Reggie are at the cemetery howling. Reggie asks Betty if she knows why wolves howl, and he says it's to attract a mate. They have a bunch of wolf packs in Duck Creek. Betty says that must have been scary, but Reggie says it wasn't because the wolves recognized a fellow alpha.
Oh. Boo! No, I literally was like, no! I put my hands up like I was blocking the light. I said, no, please.
This man said, I got the hell of a line. And I said, I have never been less attracted to you.
Dude, no. You could tell that Charles was like, I'm sorry, I have to say
this. I know.
This.
I feel so bad for him. Betty asks Reggie if he thinks of himself as an alpha. But before he can answer, Julian and the Bulldogs drive by again. Betty wonders where Archie is. I think Betty is attracted to Reggie, but I think the way edgy Reggie presents himself is just sort of not as attractive to her.
Yeah, yeah. I think that there's definitely something there, but obviously she has more history with Archie. Like, they're completely right.
And I think Reggie is so sweet, and I love him so much, but I think maybe it's just me. That alpha thing is so unattractive.
Oh, yeah, not so cute.
Yeah, yeah. This is giving me Andrew Tate, even though I'm sure it's not supposed to in the 50s.
So this is what Blanche said about this. She said, to nobody's shock, I was a wolf girl growing up.
Blanche!
So I had to, I know.
Blanche, I love you, you absolute clown.
I read this last night and I was like, bro. So I had to point this out, even though I don't think anyone else will care. But while howling can be a mating call, plus a variety of other things, wolf howls are mostly associated with letting other wolves know their location or territory. So Reggie isn't technically wrong, but I'm not sure where he's getting his information.
He's like,
wolf facts with Blanche.
I wish this was like a weekly thing.
Yeah.
I kind of love this. Reggie was like me when I spread misinformation on the internet, and then he just sleeps peacefully at night because he's like, I used it to flirt with a girl. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
At the same cemetery, Archie has wandered off. He's visiting Fred's grave. Betty apologizes because she wasn't even thinking that his grave was here. Archie says it's okay, he's fine. And he really is fine. He was thinking about how his parents used to take him and Betty trick-or-treating. They reminisce about the year that they went as Tom Sawyer and Becky. Betty points out that they've been friends for a really long time and they hold hands. Reggie walks up and sees them and asks where the haunted house is. Betty says she'll show him. Archie looks at Fred's grave one more time and follows them.
So it says, Frederick Arthur Andrews, wonderful father and husband, loved and remembered always. But there are no dates on it.
Well, it's Riverdale. There's never dates on the graves. You know that.
Yeah. I think that was weird.
Except for when there are, and then they just establish a timeline that confuses us, so we just ignore it.
Yeah. My only other thing was that, like, I was like, hey, not great parenting from Fred and Mary if you're gonna let your kid walk outside trick-or-treating with no shoes on.
Oh my god. Like, he's like, I stepped on a nail trick-or-treating, and I'm like, did you get a tetanus shot? Had those been invented yet?
I don't know. Let me Google it. When were tetanus shots? Let me ask Google. When were tetanus shots invented? A method for inactivating tetanus toxin with formaldehyde was developed in the early 1920s.
Oh, great. All right. Archie's like, I lived. I stepped on a nail and lived. That's enough.
All right, man.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough.
They arrive at the quote-unquote haunted house. I am horrified at what Betty picked for a haunted house.
Betty!
It is.
No!
It is apparently Ethel's house where her parents were murdered.
Not good!
This is not a haunted house.
Bad!
This is a crime scene. Why did she do this?
Oh, man.
The three of them are...
Oh, not good, Betty.
...visibly uncomfortable and start talking about death.
Betty says she's going to look for drinks in the fridge. You're looting a house.
Oh, man.
I'm like,
they like just died.
I am like slapping my hand down on the table because I was like, this is so weird.
It's bad. There's a lot of disrespecting the dead here today.
Reggie tells Archie that he's going to head out. He saw them in the cemetery holding hands and he can tell that there's vibes between them. Betty quickly returns with some warm orange sodas. She asks where Reggie is and Archie says he got tired and left. Neither of them seem too upset. I'm upset that you're in someone's house that they were murdered in.
Not good. Not good.
Like, personally, just gonna let you know, I'm upset about that.
Yeah, not great. Reggie calls death the big chill, which I thought was something. And then Betty also says that she's gonna go check to see if they have any 11 up.
I love that.
And of course, which is supposed to be 7 up. And this episode is 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like,
I've been waiting for this one.
I see what you guys did here.
Yeah. I was impressed that Reggie knows what a seismograph is. And I was like, be safe, Reggie. I was really scared that Julian was going to come and hurt him. And he kind of did, but in a different way than I expected.
Not purposefully. Well, that we know of.
Yeah. But also, like, I was sort of like, okay, but Betty literally just had a moment with you as well, though, with Reggie.
Exactly. It's kind of...
So I'm like,
mixed messaging.
Yeah. If I was Reggie, I would have stayed a little bit longer just to figure out...
Like, hey, do I have a shot? Yeah.
If she was making a choice or... Yeah, like, I wonder if he was just like, well, she didn't hold my hand, so I'm clearly the second choice, so never mind. You know what I mean?
It could also be that he has heard a lot about what Betty and Archie have gotten up to. So he's like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I think I'm gonna bow out. I think maybe this isn't the scene for me.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
That's my assumption, anyway. At the Babylonium, Veronica introduces the beginning of the ghost show. Before they watch Frankenstein, which stars her godfather, Boris Karloff, the floor show and resurrection will happen. Cheryl, Tony, Kevin, and Clay come out from their coffins on stage to perform Rose Tint My World from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which came out in 1975. I knew it was Rocky Horror!
Uh-huh.
I was watching it and I was like, why does this sound so much like Rocky Horror? But I don't remember it.
That is two songs this episode that were not available in 1955.
I kind of wonder if they're starting to blend the timelines.
Dude, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. I was wondering if there's bleed. I wonder if there's bleed that's happening right now.
Yeah. Like, I can't tell if this is purposeful or if at one point, at some point the writers just threw up their hands and said, how can we do a Halloween episode when there's no Halloween musicals yet?
Yeah.
Kevin says the word mommy multiple times. Yep. In the midst of this, Cheryl and Tony kiss and everyone cheers. Again, what? Veronica sings Frankenfurter's part as she runs through the audience. She makes a great Frankenfurter, actually. As Ronnie's finishing up, Alice walks in, still in costume, looking like she's been electrocuted, and disapprovingly watches her performance.
Yeah, okay, so Blanche said, I have no idea what they were going for here, but I'm not complaining. This went hard. Also, I don't want to hear anyone calling Alice homophobic because one, she's also gay, and two, I think she was just upset because everyone was a little naked. Also, it was funny.
I don't think she saw Cheryl and Tony kiss, did she?
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. And I mean,
I think we're in the clear there.
It's possible, but.
I think she was mostly scandalized at the scandalously dressed children.
Yes, right.
Who are all 30-year-old adults.
Do you think that Boris Karloff is actually Veronica's godfather? Yes. Or is she just name-dropping random people?
No, I believe that.
But what about her Uncle Orson?
Well, she's got many. She grew up in Hollywood.
Boris Karloff literally is Frankenstein.
Yes.
Like, that's Frankenstein, the guy.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's cool.
Once again, Veronica, disrespectful. These kids just died.
Yeah, this is not good.
Yeah, like, they said a few years ago, or like a couple years ago. There's no way that's less than 10.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not good.
I would say that's less than 5, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good. You know how you have this thing where you say they can't be from the 50s because their face knows what technology 100%. Is, or their face knows what text messaging is? Weirdly enough, like, I remember when the Witching Hour came out, Mads and Vanessa were playing, like, those really, like, old-timey characters. And we were like, actually, you know what? It kind of works or something. I think that Vanessa still, like, we always said that Vanessa looks like she knows what text messaging is. I think that she's pulling off being in the 50s, especially with the, like, whole serpent thing. Her voice, though, is always giving 90s to me. Like, it's always giving Britney Spears. Like, yeah.
It's a very modern-sounding voice, which, like, slay, but, it's very modern-sounding.
Yeah. Seeing Clay up there was insane to me. Last episode they were, giving Clay some levels and they continue to do so. I was like, you guys, Clay was respectable, you know, and now Clay This is what Clay is now.
I kind of love it. He contains multitudes.
Yeah, he sure does.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, Kevin said, Mommy, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And I want to hear Lily sing this season, please.
Yeah, same. I miss Lily singing. She's very good.
I'm also wondering where they got these costumes. Did Mary make everybody's costumes? Because this is Riverdale, a place that doesn't like Halloween.
I am guessing that these were DIY costumes that came out of nowhere.
Sure. This is kind of what I wanted that James Dean thing to be, you know, when they had the double feature and then they couldn't show them because the film was broken. Mm-hmm. This is what I wanted. I wanted you guys to go out on stage and recreate the entire movie beat for beat.
But musical style. I would watch that.
Yeah, me too.
So maybe you're onto something.
Thanks.
As Reggie walks home from Ethel's house, Julian and the Bulldogs pull up beside him. They're all dressed as skeletons a la Johnny Lawrence and invite him along to come stir up trouble in Greendale across the bridge. Reggie declines at first, but Julian pushes and Reggie climbs in the car. I mean, he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Like, it's not overly dire for him that Betty rejected him, but it can't feel great.
Yeah, one of my, like, main... So a couple of the things that I wrote was basically just, like, I hate Julian, and where are the cops? And it's funny that they're going to Greendale, because Greendale is spooky, ooky spooky. But my last note was, why did Reggie do this? So you're starting to answer it already. What do you think, like, what was Reggie's, like, brain process here?
He's got nothing else to do. Like, he's already out and about. Sorry, a little boy just broke his way in.
Oh, hi, Toby.
Bye, Toby. Bad boy. So Reggie's already out and about. Like, he's just had a little bit of a rejection. You know, he was just making friends with Archie, and I think they're still going to be friends. But, you know, he's had kind of a weird night. And it's like, you know, why not? Why not go cause some trouble? He gets to ride in a fast car. Life could be worse.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, from what I've seen of Reggie, I feel like he has, like, higher morals than that. Julian is really sucky and bad.
I think he probably does.
You know, and he's doing sucky bad things.
He is, but yeah. I think that for Reggie, it's like, well, let's see what he gets up to. Like, I can always ditch them in Greendale.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. It did make me sad. Obviously, it needed to happen for, like, the narrative to continue. The important things happened at the end of the episode about
exactly.
it. But it still made me sad.
Well, that's fair. Betty and Archie sit on Ethel's bed together. Again, what are you doing?
It's sort of, I don't know if it makes me feel better, because I thought it was Ethel's parents' bed, but I wasn't really looking very closely at the decor, so it's possible it was Ethel's bed, and I'm not sure which one's better.
I also assumed it was Ethel's parents' bed. I think I feel better if it's just Ethel's bed.
Yeah.
But regardless, this just, it's weird.
Betty,
it's
weird. Not a good choice. You guys know Ethel. Ethel stayed at your house. Mm-hmm. Like, Betty's like, yeah, I'm here because I went here, and she's like, yeah, I stole the sex book from here. I totally know this place, and it's definitely haunted. By your friend's parents?
Yeah, because they're dead.
Bro, dude. Yeah. Yeah, not great this episode on anybody, really.
No. No one is making good choices. They both say that they want to kiss each other, and they do. Until, through the window, Betty sees the milkman and screams. Archie pulls back the curtains, but he's gone. Betty wants to leave. They head out, but not before the camera pans to a few jugs of milk on the table. So is this guy just, like, squatting in that house now?
So here's what I thought, is that he knows... I'm assuming that he's keeping tabs on where Ethel is.
Why?
He knows that Ethel has... broken out, and now I wonder if he's here wondering if Ethel's gonna be here.
Oh.
He hears that somebody is around. He notices that it's not, he sees them, he notices it's not Ethel, and then goes, I don't know how he figures out that she's gonna be at Brad Rayberry's house, but that, and then he goes there next, is what I would think.
Well, it kind of would track if he was keeping, because he keeps visiting the houses of his victims, because mm-hmm. those are both, like, places he's been before, so it could be that he's been keeping tabs on both places.
Yeah, and it's unclear also because, like, the Mrs. Martin at the apartment building said that she heard it earlier in the day.
Yeah.
But Betty and Archie see him at night, so not sure. Is Sam there?
Yes.
She says that she has a milkman prediction despite whatever happens at the end, and so I would love to hear it.
Would you like to share your milkman prediction? I think it's Dilton Doiley. But we've already seen his face. You've seen one of their faces.
Oh!
Why do you think it's Dilton? Because it looked like him outside the window.
Oh!
He did leave. He totally left. So, like, he could have just gone home and been boring or whatever. But it looked like the person spying on Betty and Archie was wearing glasses. And I don't think the guy who got murdered at the end.
Oh.
Spoilers for the end.
I'm pretty sure. Will you tell her?
Oh my god.
Was wearing glasses.
Because I know she's not wearing headphones. I'm pretty sure that the person that we see in the thing, like, is Melvin. Like, it is him.
Okay. Robin says that the person that we do see through the curtains is Melvin.
Oh.
But I think you're onto something with Dilton leaving.
Yeah, me too.
Especially because how do the milkman murders continue if the milkman's dead?
Tell her I agree. And I think she's so smart.
Robin says she agrees and she thinks you're really smart.
It's giving House of the Devil, which is, like, one of my favorite episodes of this whole show, where, like, Veronica and Archie went to, like, that creepy abandoned house. Mm-hmm. So it's giving that. And then also, we've seen Archie and Betty kiss a million times this season already, but this is their first actual kiss. Like, in the 50s?
Oh, yeah! In real... This is a...
They've never kissed before. This is their first kiss.
Huge Barchie moment.
Yeah.
And all we do is win. Aww.
It's so true.
Like, so sorry to everyone else, but it is going to be Barchie.
Oh, yeah.
After the show, Kevin and Clay are cleaning the theater. Veronica says, since this was such a success, what if they did a weekly midnight showing of a monster movie? Clay says that sounds great, but they do actually want to talk to her about something. They know she's been living at the Babylonium and suspect it's trouble with her parents. Veronica lies about the trouble, saying, yes, she's been living here, but only until the Pembroke finishes undergoing renovations. She sends them home and says not to worry. The girl is not good at lying.
I thought it was actually really sweet of them to check on her, actually.
Right?
You know, like, I thought that, and they said it really well. They, like, did it really, gently and everything, too.
They have a very sweet little family that they're building there.
I thought it was really nice. And I also, like, you know, we see through you, Veronica. Like, she just wants to have midnight movies just to have company. Yep. She's lonely.
I mean, I would be lonely, too, being stuck there all the time. The only place you go is school, and your family isn't there, and it's sad.
Exactly. She calls them the Hardy Boys. The Hardy Boys are, like, began in 1927, so, like, that checks out. But I'm pretty sure in Riverdale they were called the Baxter Brothers. I don't know if the Hardy Boys actually existed. Like, but Nancy Drew does, so I feel like actually it does.
Yeah, they probably, after Roberto got the rights to Nancy Drew, were like, oh, we can use this now. Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind.
At Pops, Midge, Fangs, Cheryl, and Tony get milkshakes. Cheryl congratulates her on her secret. Midge thanks her and says that was some kiss she and Tony shared on stage. Cheryl happily says if anyone asks, she'll just say she was possessed by the Halloween spirit. They're gonna ask and that will not fly.
Nope.
Tony says she's happy the four of them put their masks away for the night and Cheryl holds her hand. Unfortunately, Evelyn, who's sitting at the counter, sees this and looks like she disapproves. I'm gonna fight Evelyn in the Pops parking lot.
Y'all, you gotta pay attention to who you're talking about this stuff around. You gotta look around.
All I know is sadness.
I love that Zoe shows up to just to be sinister for like 3 seconds. Like, I do respect that. I'm sure she got paid heavily and I think that's great.
She does a good job.
But also, everyone already doesn't like Halloween, or at least like won't let them celebrate Halloween. If she says she was possessed by Halloween, you're gonna make everyone think that Halloween's evil even more.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was like, girl, what do you mean? You weren't even supposed to be doing any of that anyway.
And now Evelyn has heard her say that, so she's like, okay, we're not gonna believe that.
My only like saving grace here is that maybe everyone is going to be very distracted by the car accident.
Right. Yes. That would be great.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. Yes. Even though I'm also terrified of the car accident.
Same. Yeah. Well, the next, the blurb, like, for next episode started with the aftermath. And, of course, I hadn't seen this episode yet by the when we got that. And I was like, the aftermath of what?
Now you know.
But now it's the aftermath of what happens with Ethel and with Reggie.
Oh, boy. Finally, some good old-fashioned Riverdale murder.
Yay!
And a little bit of mystery for the fun of it.
I'm having fun. Yeah. I miss my friends from the actual storyline, but I'm having a good time.
Archie walks Betty to her door and tells her that this was the best Halloween of his life. She agrees, and they're about to kiss. But Alice, who's still in her costume and has not washed her face, opens the door and yells at Betty to come in. Betty complains and says she thought she wasn't her mom anymore. Alice says she's not, but since Betty still lives in the house, she still has to listen to her. I don't think that's how that works. Okay. Betty walks inside.
You're just making up rules, right? Now.
Betty walks inside and Alice yells at Archie to leave.
I did think that was funny. She's like, get out of here.
And I'm like, Alice, he's a catch. Are you stupid?
Right. It's like, if you want your daughter to date anybody, great choice in Archie.
Yeah.
Great choice.
Like, hello? He's respectful.
Safe. Respectful. Yeah.
He's not going to try and, like, literally the dirtiest thing they did was stare at each other through a window.
Yep.
Practically Victorian.
I love so much. I love the hat. I wish Archie wore a hat all the time, a cowboy hat in particular. Maybe I was just raised in Alberta, but I love the hat and I love every time he puts on the hat.
Yeah, that is definitely your Alberta coming out.
I know.
Yeah!
Keep bringing out the hat. Let's keep the hat.
Veronica sadly celebrates Dia de los Muertos by herself. When she's finished, she sits on the couch and looks at an old photo of herself 12 Hiram and Hermione celebrating. She cries and hugs the picture. That Photoshop was well done.
It was something for sure.
I've
seen worse. I've absolutely seen worse.
That's exactly what my barometer is, which is I've seen Riverdale do much worse.
And honestly, like, Cammy did a really good job in this scene because, like, who hasn't, like, sadly cried in their bed alone? And it was very believable.
Yeah, she did a great... She's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. R.I.P. Abuela.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
When did that happen?
Abuela sitting on that ofrenda.
I'm so sad.
Upsetting. Very sad. Blanche also said, if we can do an FP fake photo and a Hiram and Hermione fake photo, we can do a Gladys fake photo. I'm like, I mean, you're probably right.
Blanche's special interest in Gladys makes me so happy. I think the only hope for, like, these insane things that we want is that final episode. If it's gonna happen, it'll be there.
Yep.
So, here's hoping.
Yep.
Archie wakes up to Uncle Frank standing over him, which may be the most jarring shot in the entirety of the show. Frank says that there's been an accident and a car full of bulldogs went off a bridge and into Sweetwater River. We don't know if there are any survivors yet. We pan to Reggie's empty bed and the episode ends.
My boy! I was like, no, kill Julian! Don't kill Reggie!
Oh my god, right? I'm like, oh.
I was like,
they're gonna kill a Blossom sibling. Duh. That's how it's meant to be in Riverdale.
I was like, Archie, seriously, you came home and you just went to bed?
Like, why did...
You didn't even look to see if Reggie was in his bed?
Exactly. Why didn't you check on my boy?
I'm very upset. But also, in the trailer, we see Julian in the hospital and he looks like he's just sleeping. Like, he's not beat up or anything.
Well, they're not gonna have serious injuries.
They went off into a river.
They went swimming.
Oh, okay.
That's sure. All I got for you.
Okay.
I'm kind of wondering if, like, someone else was more seriously injured.
Right, yeah.
You know? Like, maybe?
Are you ready to go into segments?
Yes.
Our first segment is, what did Blanche think? She didn't send in a voicemail, but she told me to tell you.
Okay.
Let everyone know that she loved this episode.
And she's right for that.
She said, I already know what her favorite line award is, but she said, nothing will ever top Jellybean from the original Halloween ep saying, I'm gonna go play Minecraft.
Oh, man. Which is so fair. Riverdale, am I right?
Which character needs a hug the most? I'm giving one to Ethel, and I'm also giving one to Reggie.
Those are both really good choices.
Thank you so much.
My segment is, which MILF was the most badass? None of them. They all get... Oh, no. Mary for making Halloween costumes.
Yeah. Yeah. What is Sam shipping the most? Sam told me that she is shipping Shoni the most with a very close second to Barchi. Yeah.
My wife got taste.
Yeah. Asexual joke? Question mark? The answer is yes, always yes. He continues to be ace as hell this episode.
He said, whatever vibes you're putting out, I do not see them.
Cannot pick up a hint to save his life. It is simply slipping through his fingers, and I love that for him.
I pretend I do not see it.
Now it's time for our best line award. My best line award goes to Penelope and Julian for...
Less opportunity for inappropriate hanky-panky.
Yuck, mother. Can I eat here?
Yuck, mother!
Yuck, mother!
Yuck, mother!
What a drama king.
I love it.
And my favorite line award goes to Jughead for...
Alright, everyone listen. Don't drink fresh milk anymore. Just drink powdered milk.
Don't.
Absolutely hilarious of him to just randomly show up in a room, smack some milk around, tell people not to drink milk and leave.
Yeah, like, love your it. Friends all think you're super sane. Yeah. Remember earlier this season when he was like, all of you used to be superheroes?
Yeah.
Goofy.
Sam's favorite line award goes to Archie, Betty, Reggie, and Dilton for...
I was dreaming!
Mostly because their beautiful, gorgeous faces are just so happy and filled with joy. And that makes me so happy.
They are very, very cute.
And Blanche's favorite line award goes to Alice for...
Get.
That's a good choice, actually. Good. I like it.
As for the trailer, the blurb for this episode, Archie and Reggie lean on each other as they prepare for their big basketball game against Stonewall Prep. Oh, okay, so he's just fine, actually.
Everybody's actually fine, and it was just a fake out, so don't worry.
Wait, what? Yeah, he's not in the trailer, but so I haven't read this blurb since I watched the trailer. Okay, well, I guess he's fine. Anyway.
I bet you one of the other random bulldogs died.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, as they deal with ongoing issues with their parents, Betty and Veronica decide to throw a slumber party with Kevin and Clay.
Cute.
So Archie says, I feel like an imposter. Ethel says, I want to tell my story. And she's in the apartment with Jughead, covered in blood still, and talking to somebody, probably Tom, if I had to guess.
Good.
We see Veronica and Betty in little matching bathing suits. Veronica says, I actually want to have some fun. And we see them giggling on the couch with Kevin and Clay. And then Veronica says, I'm also slightly jealous. About
what?
Archie?
Oh, that would make sense.
I guess.
Or like everyone else having relationships and she doesn't.
Right. And then Betty says, I feel so different from everyone else. And we see them having their sleepover. And then we see them wearing sunglasses inside, applauding at like a party of some sort.
I wonder if they're hungover.
You're completely right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like really confused about what the... I mean, it's a 20-second trailer, but like usually the story is a little bit more coherent. Like I feel like Veronica's lines, I actually want to have fun. I'm also slightly jealous. And then Betty's saying, I feel so different from everyone else. I'm like, what are we talking about?
I always feel like the trailers are completely incomprehensible. So for me, this makes a lot of sense.
Usually I feel like I get what's going on, but this one was confusing.
Fair enough.
Cheryl says, I certainly won't be shaking my pom-poms while my brother hovers between life and death. We see Cheryl and Penelope seeing Julian at the hospital. Like I said, he looks fine. I assume maybe she could potentially be yelling at Evelyn about this. Like Evelyn's like, come be a cheerleader. And she's like, I'm not doing that because my brother is at the hospital.
Evelyn's just trying to blackmail her.
And then Jughead says, now I have even more questions.
Okay, Juggy.
Well, we'll find out in like 2 weeks.
We sure will.
A very welcome break. And I'm thrilled because since we know there's one more hiatus week after this, that means that we will never have to record this many weekly episodes in a row ever again.
That's iconic.
Because this was so many.
Yeah, it was 11 straight weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening to this episode.
Our music is Terminal by Good News Tunes.
Thank you to those who shared space with us while we recorded. Thanks to my dog, especially thanks to Sam for vibing in the background there.
I got a really good wifey. She is a nice lady.
Yeah. Was Emily home?
Yes, she was. Thank you to our roommate Emily, who is just an angel.
Yeah. Thank you, as always, to Sheila Daly, aka Blanche, for writing our notes. You're the best.
Thank you so much. You are a queen.
Truly, I've said this multiple times, but you have changed our lives. I would not be able to do this without
you. You make this possible. Yeah.
If you're a fan of The 100, we'd like to talk about that show too. We did seasons 4 to 7 as they were airing, and now we're going back to the good old days. Season 3 is done. We're in the midst of season 2, and we will continue on after Riverdale is over.
Good plan. Good plan. If you're a fan of Stranger Things, we'd like to talk about that show too. We have covered the first 3 seasons, and when Riverdale is done, we will continue with season 4.
Yes, the first episode is out, and the goal is to get to the end of episode 4 by the end of this year.
Yes.
If you're a fan of Lost, we'd like to talk about that show too. We did the first 3 seasons. We're in the middle of season 4. It's our longest podcast. We have guests over there and a spoiler section at the end. So if you want to watch along for the first time and listen, that would mean a lot to me. That show is my baby.
And given some of the crazy things that have come out about Lost, it is a fascinating podcast to listen to. And I was on the first season and I loved it.
Yes. And we put out, what's that?
What? Did I? How many seasons of Lost did I do?
You did 2.5.
I did 2.5.
and we recently put out a sort of discussion on the stuff that just came out recently, and that is out now, so I hope that you go check it out.
Yes, and also read Mo Ryan's book, Burn It Down. She has been a journalist that I have admired for many, many years, literally since 2007-8. When I was watching Battlestar Galactica for the time, and she just put out a whole book about the toxicity of the film industry.
Yeah.
You can follow the Aficionados on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and our new TikTok.
Yes, please. Our Patreon is patreon.com/theaficionados. If you like what we do here, please consider donating, because it's expensive with our money and expensive with our time, and so we'd really appreciate it. If not, check out our small businesses or recommend us to a friend, because that is free.
And just as helpful. Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Britannia, which is BRITTANIA with an underscore at the end.
And you can follow me personally at Robin E. Jeffrey. That's RobynEJFFrey pretty much everywhere. The next episode is happening in a couple weeks. Episode 712. It's called After the Fall. After the Fall is a play by Arthur Miller. It is one of his more personal plays. It's a thinly veiled personal critique centered on Miller's recent divorce from Marilyn Monroe, which we talked about Arthur Miller and Marilyn Monroe. Like, Jughead literally name dropped them earlier this season.
Yes, he did.
The plot takes place inside the mind of Quentin, a New York City Jewish intellectual who decides to re-examine his life in order to determine whether or not he should marry his most recent love, Holga. The play has been roundly criticized by some for being too similar to Miller's actual life because Maggie's suicide is similar to the accidental... Maggie? Okay, whatever, I haven't read the play. Maggie's suicide is similar to the accidental overdose death of Miller's former wife, Monroe. The feelings of the protagonist, Quentin, are often believed to be Miller's own reflections about his failed marriage. This really reminds me of the backlash that Robert Brown, I can't remember his name, got after the last 5 years, where he was like, he basically wrote a musical about his own life and he looked really bad in it. Made him look not good.
Yeah, but he thought he looked good, which was Uh-huh. Like, you can make art about your life. You just gotta make sure it's respectful of the people, the real people involved.
Exactly. And weirdly enough, the episode after that is called The Crucible, which is also a play by Arthur Miller. So it's interesting we've got two Arthur Miller titles in a row.
Yeah. Interesting.
All right. Okay, love you, bye!
Okay, love you, bye!